Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zeng and have Sean in studio. Now, this is a show about what matters most in life: our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you the latest research about gossiping. Do women gossip more? And when they do, what do they gossip about? And then I will speak to Amir Fatihzadeh, an author of the book, Gossip, The Road to Ruin, How We Make Enemies and Alien People. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Share it with your friends. Give me reviews. Send me email, fujianzeng@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. Tell me what it is that you like, the topics that you like me to talk about, and share with me your views and tell me your stories so that I can share it with the world, because I know you matter and your stories matter. And we'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zeng. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, or, you know, it's just time to take care of you, but you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office, I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to fujian.com, F-O-O-J-A-N.com, for more information. It's time to take care of you, because you are worth it.
So here's the tip of the week. Well, obviously, it's the new year, 2020. And what we do best at, let's say, significant dates, whether it's a new year or birthdays, what we do is usually look maybe at the past, complete the past, and look into the future and what it is that we want to create. It's important for us to create some things that are intentional. And when our focus and intention guides us to a particular area, that type of giving attention to that area guides us toward it, such as our thoughts are toward it, our visualizations go more toward it, we talk about it more with friends and people who can support us. It becomes more of the matter during the day for us. We structure it better. We put it in our calendar. The world outside starts knowing about it and from us. So they want to help us and support us. So it's important to see what it is that your goals are and set them up in a way that you can be reaching them and enjoying yourself in the journey of reaching them, right? So one of the things that I really got is that when I share my goals and intentionality and I ask people to hold them up for me and with me, their thoughts or their good, let's say, intentions for me, their prayers for me are there. And when they have a resource that they could support me, they have me in their mind and they will say, Fujian, I know so-and-so that could really help you on this project. Or you remember you were talking about this book, I know this publisher, or I know this person who can, you know, promote the book and all of that. So I've learned for many, many years, I used to just go ahead and write my intentions in my phone or my diary, and then I would look at it and I would do it for myself. These past couple of years, I've also learned not only to write it down, make it tangible, make it clear in what it is that exactly I want, and make it in every area of life. Not, you know, a lot of times we make an intentionality in the areas that we lack, right? Like, I don't have a relationship, so I'm going to, you know, wish for that. Or I don't have so much money or the wealth or the house that I want or the wealth that I want or the job that I want. So I will just zoom in that. I suggest write a goal for every area of life, even the ones that appear to be going very well, because you want to maintain the wellness of however it is that you maintain it. And if you put focus only on another area and completely lose focus on the areas that are going well, guess what's going to happen to that area? You're going to lose that too. So let's set up an intentionality of goals and things you want to create or to maintain what you have in that area and hold gratitude and appreciation if things are going well in one area of your life, such as the intimate relation, marriage, your sex life, your career, your job, finances, management of finances, relationships with people who are around you, your children, your family, your work, relationship with people who are at work, your relationship with your body, maybe the weight, maybe the health, maybe whatever it is that is important for you. Maybe there's a particular illness that you have that you need to manage and kind of accept and move around. So in every area, let's start looking at what it is that you really want. Write it down. Start sharing it with people. People you trust, people that you know they love you and they're going to be behind you. That people who know you know maybe have a resources in supporting you in reaching those goals. So write them down and even put them in pictures. You know, create collages around. Put everything that you want on different pictures. Put them in visual sense that every day you remember. And then more than anything, put it on your calendar. Give it dates, put specific ones and what dates you want them to get created and schedule them. I promise you, if they're not scheduled, they're just a great fantasy and they're never going to come true. So I just wanted to share that piece with you and I wanted you to uphold it for me. I'm finishing up my book about the awareness integration model, which is the model I created. And this one is a book that is going to go toward the therapists and the counselors so that they learn how to do this model with all of you who want to go to therapy or counseling or coaching. So the first run is done. I've sent it to people for feedback to then finish up the introduction and complete it. So that's definitely going to be done in this year and sent to publishers, and hopefully they're published the latest this year or early next year. And then the second book is also working with two of my amazing colleagues and taking the awareness integration model and putting it in the children's developmental courses that might be taught in the Cal State, Northridge and other Cal States and UCs. So I'm really excited about these two. I'm taking a journey to go work with some of the refugees, the women refugees around the world. These are things that are really close to my heart, and also having an amazing healing relationship with all of my clients and who want to come and be healed and transform. I love what I do with individuals and couples, and that's definitely what I want to do more and more. I opened my new office in San Clemente, and I'm still in Beverly Hills, so those are definitely there. So grow my practice online and in my offices to be a service to you all. So those are my exciting and cheerful things that I'm going forward and maintaining my beautiful relationships to my husband and to everyone around me and my friends and you guys who are beautifully there listening and having a most amazing communication with all of you. That's what I'm intending to do. So keep those in your heart, in your mind, and in your wishes for me. Share yours with me. Email me. FujanZane@gmail.com. Tell me what is yours so I can uphold it for you. All right? We'll be right back with the latest research about gossip.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back, everyone. All right, I'm going to tell you two research today, both of them about gossip, actually. One is done 2019 and one was done 2017, but they were actually back to back together. So I wanted to share them with you from Science Daily. So a new UC Riverside study asserts that women don't engage in tear down gossip any more than men do. And lower income people don't gossip more than their more well-to-do counterparts. It's also it also holds younger people are more likely to gossip negatively than their older counterparts. It's the first ever study to dig deep into who gossips the most, what topics they gossip about, and how often people gossip. You know what? How often? 52 minutes per day on average. So if you're going to look at gossip like an academic, removing the value judgment we assign to the word, gossip in the academic view is not bad. It's simply talking about someone who isn't present. That talk could be positive, could be neutral, and it could be negative. With that definition, it would be hard to think of a person who never gossips, because that would mean that the only time they mention someone in their is in their presence. They could never talk about a celebrity unless the celebrity was present for the conversation. They would only mention any detail about anyone else that they are present. Not only would this be difficult, but it would probably seem strange to people that they interact with, right? Because that's just not possible. You don't have anything else to say. In this research, they looked at the data from 467 people, 269 were women and 198 were men, who participated in one of the five studies. Participants were 18 to 58 years old. Participants wore a portable electronically activated recorder with samples what people say throughout the day. About 10% of their conversation is recorded, then analyzed by research assistants. The research assistants counted conversations as gossip if it was about someone not present. In all, there were 4,003 instances of gossip. They filtered the gossip into three categories: positive, negative, or neutral. So the assistants further coded the gossip depending on whether it was about a celebrity or an acquaintance, and the topic and the gender of the conversation partner among the results were, this is the result, younger people engage in more gossip, negative gossip, than older adults. There were no correlation with overall frequency of the gossip when all three categories were combined. About 14% of participants' conversations were gossip or just under an hour in 16 waking hours. Almost 3/4 of gossip were neutral. Negative gossip was twice as prevalent as positive gossip. Overwhelming was about the acquaintances and not about celebrities, with a comparison of 3,292 samples versus 369. Extroverts gossip far more frequently than introverts, probably because they talk more. And women gossip more than men, but only in neutral information sharing gossip. Poorer, less educated people don't gossip more than wealthier, better educated people. And the final result, everyone gossips. Gossip is ubiquitous, and that's what the study concludes. So now the second research was very, very intriguing, and that's why I wanted you guys to have it. This was done in 2017. So this was done before the study that I just sent to you. But it looks at the gossip from a different angle with women, which was really interesting to me. New research from Florida State University investigating how women use gossip to compete in the realm of romance offers insight that aim to reduce bullying and enhance women's friendships. Researchers found adult women often use some gossiping technique as adolescent girls to tarnish another woman's reputation and trying to gain an advantage in romantic relationships. Wow. It's consequential because a woman's reputation still predicts her access to romantic partners, friendships, or professional collaborations. And this research shows gossip can substantially shift social perceptions. People tend to give more weight to negative personal information because they consider it a truer indication of a person's character than positive details. Researchers led 5 studies that found women were more likely to spread negative information about a woman perceived as a threat to their romantic prospects. Women strategically used gossip to target a rival who posed either a direct or an indirect threat. A direct threat, including another woman trying to steal a boyfriend. Indirect threats involved women who were otherwise innocent but physically attractive or provocatively dressed. For example, one study directed an attractive woman to wear 2 very different clothing styles and in each case share the same prurient details about her sexual activity to female participants, even though the disclosure could be devastating to her reputation. They discovered that women who heard this damaging information were more likely to spread it, ready, when the speaker wore a low-cut shirt flaunting cleavage than when she dressed conservatively. Ha! These findings were published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology. Also discovered highly competitive women spread negative information about their same-sex peers indiscriminately. This pattern suggests competitive females may be the primary perpetrator of adolescent bullying and then harmful workplace rumors. We'll talk a little bit more about that with our guest, Amir Fatihzadeh, because he does that. He talks about gossip in the workplace. So in the age of social media, using gossip as a weapon is an easy, potentially powerful technique to harm someone's reputation. Researchers hope shining a light on the behavior is the first step of to curtailing it. If school counselors know the predictors of female bullying and they understand it, manifest its subtle ways like gossiping, then they'll be better equipped to detect it and deal with it. This research shows adult women demonstrate similar behavior of adolescent bullies, and manipulating reputations can have serious consequences. The research also confirmed consequences can be far-reaching because people often choose friends and romantic partners based on reputations. The study found gossip can make female targets seem less moral, untrustworthy, or someone to be avoided. Reputation-harming information is not spread just by the people we interact with. In the modern environment with social media, this information can spread much more broadly and affect others' reputation and interpretation of us, even if we've never met them. This issue is more important than ever now. This kind of female romantic rivalry is documented throughout the history and across cultures. Past research has found examples of women competing over men's romantic commitments in 91% of 137 cultures. Researchers concluded from historical analysis that the stakes were high for women to attract and retain high-quality men. Data showed fathers of high social status who remained married and active in their children's lives produced healthier children who were more likely to survive into adulthood compared to low-income fathers who did not commit to their children's mother. Historically, a woman's romantic partner was a strong predictor of how well the family fared. Today, it may be less predictive because women have better education, and they have education so they can have employment and child support. But going from a dual to a single-income household still reduces resources available to children, and divorce can be incredibly stressful for them. So attracting and retaining an invested male partner still influences important outcomes for women and their families. One unexpected finding of this study was that sometimes women shared gossip about an attractive woman perceived as a threat whether they liked her or not. That makes her, the researcher, think that women don't really know they're doing it, or they're not doing it maliciously. If you can spread gossip without seeming meaning to, or if you phrase it with a concern, such as like, I'm pretty worried for her because she's not making all the good choices for herself, then the gossiper is perceived as more like a better friend, someone who cares, compared to the one who gossips maliciously. She can preserve her reputation while still harming a rival. That suggests concerned gossip is an effective tactic, and women may not even consciously know that they're doing it. So the researcher hopes her work enhances women's same-sex friendship by raising awareness of gossiping tendencies. If the finding prompts women to pause and consider whether a friend would want certain details disclosed, then the moment of reflection could help prevent the kind of loyalty breach that undermines the friendship. And most importantly, the researcher believes that the finding can elevate the discussion about women's value outside the realm of romance and physical appearance. And she hopes that we can create a new form of success for women that has nothing to do with whether they have romantic partners or whether they're physically attractive. And if we reduce the emphasis on competition for romance and better appreciate that a woman does not need a man to be successful, if we change our view of what it means to be successful female, and stop focusing on questions like, am I attractive to men? Maybe that would reduce gossiping and make women feel more secure in themselves and place more value on their qualities such as intelligence and kindness. So now we're going to further talk about this to Amir Fatihzadeh, my guest. He's an author, speaker, and a program leader who has led life-changing programs in North America and Canada to thousands of people. He devotes his unique approach and methodology with a commitment to make a difference for business owners, managers, and CEOs. Amir is a certified professional business coach, personal and life coach, and is certified in emotional intelligence. He has delivered programs in leadership, relationship, and emotional intelligence, living life powerfully, communication, money, commitment, and integrity with great rates success of for the last 20 years. With his extensive background, Amir is able to guide CEOs and business owners and managers discover their blind spot and take their businesses to a new level. His focus has been on communication, relationship, and leadership, and often speaks at high school trainings and empowering students to overcome their views and how to become a better leader in the family, school, social life, and the leaders of tomorrow. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Amir Fatihzadeh, the author of the book Gossip.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zain. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, or, you know, it's just time to take care of you. But you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office. I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to Foujan.com, F-O-O-J-A-N.com, for more information. It's time to take care of you, because you are worth it.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Foujan Zain, and I have Amir Fathizadeh with me. Welcome to my show, Amir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have you. So great to see you after such a long time, and so great to see your success and the launching of your new book, Gossip, The Road to Ruin.
Yes, yes. It's great to see you as well. It has been a long time.
Amir, what got you to write about gossip?
Oh my gosh. You know, many different reasons. You know, I grew up with gossip being around me, basically. And I have been impacted in family life. I have been impacted in my professional life, and lost a big opportunity, actually, because of gossip. And then for the last several years, I have done lots of work, especially in the medical industry, with the companies, where basically gossip was destroying the culture. And it produced such a great results that I said to myself, every human resources, every family, every organization should have access to something that they can alter, you know, that culture, the culture of, you know, gossip. And I started writing. It took a while to write it, but it is done, and I am glad to say that it is published and it is available.
Beautiful. So as I was reading your book, you start talking about the gossip from an evolutionary psychology perspective. And you talk about the theory comes from and states that gossip promotes social bonding in larger groups, and two-thirds of the conversations around the world with people end up being gossip anyway, because, you know, how much talk can you do? At one point, the conversation goes beyond you, and it goes beyond just information of a daily aspect, and it just kind of like turns right into talking about other people. And but you also kind of separate the talking about other people from an innocent perspective and information giving, or from a malicious space, which does damage to the other people. So can you open that concept for us a bit?
Absolutely. So there is, there are two kinds of gossips. There's one gossip that we talk about the entertainment, you know, industry, you know, actors, actresses. So we talk about politics. This is not the kind of gossip that I am referring to in this book. We're talking about the kind of conversation that we kind of humiliate and make the other person small, and I say throwing them under the bus. Mm-hmm. So when you make someone small and you talk negative about them, there is an impact. And there is a reason why a person does it. So this book really gets into inside of that with lots of examples as to why we do it, what do we get out of it, and how to correct it in the family situation and also in the work environment. So if I may give you a little background on how gossip has started in the human evolution is, you know, they don't really have a concrete reason as why and where the gossip started, but there are different ideas about it. And it goes back centuries back. You know, for example, in 16th century, they said gossip was driven from the English word of gossip, you know, the word God and sip, which is basically means good parents of one child. And, you know, in the 19th century, the meaning of a person then, you know, mainly referred to as, you know, women, because, you know, it were, you know, women will gather when, you know, a neighbor or family had a child. They will gather all together in a room and they will entertain themselves by having a conversation. And then it went into the 19th century from description of a person that was speaking to the conversation between two people. And in one, you know, even one idea, one theory refers to monkeys. Monkeys, you know, they spend lots of time nurturing each other by picking dirt and debris, and they just, you know, massage each other, rub each other. And this, you know, as human beings started to develop from the old times into language coming into existence, then they could add meaning to some of the stuff that was going on. In, you know, in the evolution, you know, the human beings, you know, they lived in the forest, and they at night they had to stay awake because of the fear of being eaten by other creatures. And when they discovered fire, they will sit around the fire and have conversations about their, you know, daily activities, which was mainly hunting and surviving. And then when the, you know, it got populated, they moved from the forest into the open spaces. Therefore, it required more teamwork, more conversation, more personal information. So there is a belief that gossip could have started there. People started talking about, you know, informing others about someone else. And as the language got more developed, more meaning could be added to something that someone would say. Therefore, they would, you know, take that interpretation and deliver it to someone else. And by the time it gets to number 5, 6, or 10, you'll have 5, 6, 10 interpretations. And that's what happens in today's society.
I'm also assuming that with what I've seen is that, you know, obviously in any type of interaction, interactions for us humans don't stop there, right? So when the minute that we get a chance, we ruminate, we take what had happened and bring it back into our head and then talk about it again in our head, then go back to the story, analyze it, put it together. And a lot of times this type of regurgitation of going back into an event that we had about someone, a dialogue that we had about someone that we're not finished with and we're still processing, and then kind of talk out loud about it or share it with someone else. So whether it's a coworker or as a family member or someone, do you know what I'm saying? Like you go to work, something happens, you come home and you sit there with your family around the table or whatever. And then after a while, like, how was your day? Well, how was my day? I had this conversation with so-and-so, or I saw so-and-so. And then this concept of us rehearsing and going back, processing comes back and then externally also gets shared with other people. And then, which is again, another form of gossip, because usually things hold to us that are either very highly emotionally positive or highly emotionally negative. And most of the time we need to process things that are highly emotionally negative for us. And we carry it until we process it for ourselves. And sometimes that becomes constantly shared with other people around us.
Correct. You know, the kind of conversations that is negative and has and is harmful is the gossip that I am referring to.
Right.
So, you know, coming home and sharing about my work and my day, let's say with my spouse or my significant others, it could be very harmless, and it was is a way of expressing ourselves and unloading. And we have no intention of harming someone else. But the moment I come to you and talk about someone else, in order to either make myself look good to you or get your support and get you on my side, that is where it becomes destructive.
So what you're talking about, there's a malicious intention or there's a manipulative intention in the background, and it's not just about releasing my emotions to someone to get cared for or for somebody to take care of me. You're talking more about really recognizing the distinct difference between the behaviors that we do that is malicious and is manipulative in order to make myself better. And you have some perspective that needs to play a victim, to be right, to urge the urge to complain, feeling superior or being in control. That's what you say in your book. Say more about that.
So, you know, if we look at the why we go to someone else and not directly to the person that we might have an issue with, there is something very unique about it. Because our form an opinion, the moment, because it starts perhaps from a small either interpretation of what the other person has said or I have done, or I have, you know, with that I have made up a story, or it could be simply jealousy. The jealousy could also, you know, cause because I want to look better than the other person. So there is something deep here that makes me go to someone else and talk about it. And what that deep thing is, it has my opinion and my view and my story that I have made up about that person to be the true and only story to me. Therefore, to protect that, I will come to you and I will get you on my side. Now there is two. And then perhaps you will go and tell someone else, or I go and tell someone else, and pretty soon I have a small army, which this small army really was is building up and creates a control over being right about my point of view. And, you know, and then I will do everything possible to defend it, and come up with the reasons and excuses and justification to prove to everybody who I'm sharing with that my view is, you know, this view and it's the right view, and that's why I am doing it. Right. Now, when a person is in that shell, and I, you know, it's they cannot necessarily, they are unwilling to see the outside of the shell. Why? Because that righteousness, it really keeps them inside the box. Therefore, when you are trapped inside the box, you are like in a prison, you're in a cell. And you cannot see it until you can see or get present to the damages that is causing.
Right. To the consequences.
Yes, the consequences. And that is where there might be an opening that a person say, wow, oh my gosh, look at what I have done. So it's really, it starts with the person and the willingness of the person to see something for themselves. And this book will give them access to really see that and how to open that up and be responsible for it.
So let's also go back, go to some of the tips that you have in the book. So we talk about gossip in the family. We talk about gossip at work, because talk about gossip in with friends. And these are the places that gossiping, knowing that you talk, you know, kind of shit about other people, and you then you turn, it goes around, and then you hear that they have talked some stuff about you, and then you get pissed at them, and then, you know, you got to say more about them, and how dare they say something about you. And this thing just kind of goes around and around, because these are familial people who are, you know, are want their reputation be well within the next, you know, they don't want to be shunned from the group, so they're going to protect themselves by defending themselves, obviously, if they hear about the gossip, and they probably gossip more or attack with gossip. So what are your suggestions when you, you know, when we're going into a closed unit, which is the family or work or, you know, places that we're invested in our reputation within the system, and becoming aware of how we actually are ruining other people's reputation and us by gossiping about them.
Yes. So it starts with the individual to have a promise with themselves. If I have a promise with myself, that first of all, I will not talk behind anyone. And if I have an issue with anyone, I will directly go to that person and get it resolved. Now, that's the first step. So sometimes when you walk in an environment that the gossip is present, sometimes automatically people are drawn into that conversation. So being responsible goes a long way. So if I am being responsible and I have a promise to myself that I will not gossip, therefore now I am responsible to not allow that gossip to, to enhance in that environment by, simply interrupting and saying something from the commitment. Not necessarily something is wrong here, but rather, I am committed to be in a family that everybody gets along, that everybody can have a great communication, and everybody can take care of their issues directly with the person who might be directed to. So when you create that authentic relationship with people, first of all, people know that they are not going to gossip around you, and perhaps your way of being about it could impact them to see for themselves that, hey, this is a behavior, and this is a nasty behavior, and I can be responsible and alter that behavior and take it directly to the person who I have a conflict with.
And are you recommending for someone just to do this for themselves, or are you also recommending for people to attempt to stop other people's behavior, which would sometimes look upon as preaching if someone is doing? Because I could totally get, like, if I'm in a location and in a space where this is my commitment, then obviously when gossip arises, I can remove myself. I could, respectfully remove myself, or even say, I choose not to participate in this conversation, or I can even call it a gossip and say, I don't want to participate, or, passively don't do anything with that conversation, but kind of just remove myself. And then in time, the person will catch on that every time they want to gossip about something, I'm nowhere to be found, or I'm going to, excuse myself. I know in one capacity you had suggested that if somebody is gossiping about you, to confront them directly. And I was wondering also, are you requesting or suggesting to confront directly when it actually comes to someone gossiping in front of you and you want to remove yourself? Do you confront them also directly?
I do confront them directly if it's not in a big environment. Perhaps I will pull them aside and have a conversation with. Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question in just myself and someone, for both. So this book actually gives access to a person who has this habit, and I call it a habit because they weren't born with it.
Right.
So they can alter it. And it can be also gives access and exercises and practices in a group environment, that in a family environment, people actually do these exercises and alter the behavior. And just like everything else, it takes practice, or in the work environment. Another approach to altering a culture that is perhaps polluted by gossip is to bring someone into work with a group. When I was in Iran, about last year, this time, I gave a seminar for my family. And we had from 10-year-old all the way up to 87-year-old in that seminar. And it was this topic. And it was amazing because when people get present as why they do it, what the damages are, and how can impact and destroy a relationship, it gives them really an access to see for themselves, wow, I am responsible. Even if somebody else is doing it, I can do something about it. but who I am being, and you know what comes out of my mouth and how I interact and how I communicate, all can alter that behavior in that environment. So it can be very powerful.
So just to clarify, what I'm hearing from you is that you're looking at the concept of conversation among family, friends, and other relationships at work and businesses, that people are going to communicate regardless because they have to. That's the only way they can connect with each other. Now you look at, as a human being, to the nature of your communication. What is my intention? How am I communicating? What am I communicating about? Obviously, at work, we work with a team. So a lot of the conversation is not going to be just about a project. It's going to also be about team members. In our family system, we're going to talk about other family members, because we're a unit and we do. Among friends, we're going to talk about each other because we're among the friends. So it's not the concept of this, the generic conversation of gossip means talking about someone who's not here. It's more about what is the content and the intention of your conversation. And if the intention and the content is toward demeaning someone, bringing someone down, ruining their reputation, saying something malicious about them, and putting them in a negative space, which is not useful. So even if you don't agree with someone, even if at work you're not liking something that somebody has done or a family member, when you have actually gone to them and spoke to them and shared with them what you don't agree with them, or you know, talk about all of that, and then come to some agreement with it, and then put it in a more perspective of positiveness as you are bringing it to the group, and conflict resolution, if there's a conflict with that person, attempt to resolve that, and then bring the conversation from a conflict resolution and a goal-oriented of what we need to do as a team, not from a superiority that I'm going to, you know, kind of like smash you. That's where the communication becomes effective. And you're wanting the readers to know that they need to first look at who they are and what they're doing. And if they start looking at themselves, they can gear their communication into more effectiveness. Even if they don't agree with someone or they don't like something that someone does, and make it a healthy conversation for the two of them and the group at large and the company at large, versus acting from a space where it's just creates ruining relationships and the bigger projects and the bigger culture of what they're in.
Absolutely. I mean, you said it beautifully. And it starts with the person. And every time I do a presentation, at the beginning of my presentation, I express, if you are listening to this conversation from the perspective somebody else has this problem or this issue or this behavior, and it is not me, this conversation is not going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. So it is really important. Either we, gossip 1% or we gossip 100%, it does not matter. It's a behavior. And when a person takes that willingness and the commitment to alter that behavior, then the environment will alter, the culture will alter, and they can be responsible for altering, anything and anyone that has that behavior around them.
More than anything, to look at, be honest with themselves.
Absolutely.
And shift the way that they look at things. And if they choose to see the beauty in other people and what it is that they can do that creates that relationship to be more natural, authentic, real, honest, then they can share their negative views and yet be very productive and connect even in their disagreements.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that has to be present. In other words, trying to correct someone else while we're dealing with that, issue ourselves, for most part, will not produce results. You know, when I work with the companies, you know, with the, you know, including the CEO and the owner and the management team, it starts up there. And when, you know, they start to take responsibility and put in action what they need to, you know, put in action to alter their behaviors and then create policy and procedures for the employees, then we can bring the employees into the conversation. But until then, you know, there's nothing wrong here, but you are the problem, you are the issue, I need to correct you. For the most part, that will not produce that, you know, highest results.
So if you were going to share what the audience and whomever's listening to us or viewing us would really, in a nutshell, let's say, get from your book, Gossip, The Road to Ruin, what is it that they would get? Why should they read this book?
Okay. This book, even though it's, you know, is about gossip, and the gossip is a behavior, it is a form of communication. So we really open up communication, how we communicate, including listening, which, and I have examples of, you know, the kind of communication that needs to happen for someone to alter the behavior. I have examples for how to listen, how to alter our, you know, inner voice to, you know, to alter the behavior. And most importantly, if someone is dealing with gossip or not dealing at all, when they read this, they're going to see something about themselves that they never saw before. And that's the beauty of the book. And when I see something about myself, it's like a discovery. Then I can, you know, become aware of that and create something new. And that new thing, it could be either with my mother-in-law, could be with my mother, could be with my, I don't know, brother, sister, friends, what have you. That is when I can, you know, alter who Beautiful. I am and create a new future.
Beautiful. Amir, where can people find you? What is your website?
The website is coachingcollaborative.net. The book is available on Amazon, is available on Barnes & Noble and on, you know, online retailers.
Beautiful. So everyone, please go to coachingcollaborative.net and go to Amazon and get the book Gossip, The Road to Ruin, How We Make Enemies and Alienate People by Amir Fatihzadeh. It was a great pleasure to have you. It was great to see you after such a long time and see your success. And, you know, best wishes for you in 2020 and going on. So thank you for being on my show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And for all of you who are listening or watching us, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.